Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Hey, y'all, who dat, and welcome in. I am Jeff Nowak. This is Inside Black and Gold Draft Week Edition, a.k.a. Let's get an episode done before the draft edition. Been kind of a weird week. I'm recording this later than I wanted to. Some scheduling issues. Steve had some issues. So I'm going solo today. So I kind of just wanted to catch up on the last few bits of news leading into draft night. Going to be a crazy few days. The Saints have 9 picks, including number 9 overall, number 40 overall. Also have 2 third-round picks, 2 fourth-round picks. How many picks are they actually going to make? Are the Saints going to trade up? Are they going to gasp, trade back? We will find out. But today, I just wanted to kind of go over what we all heard from Mickey Loomis. Today, he spoke to the media for about 35, 40 minutes. Did his typical pre-draft press conference. I don't want to be here. I'm not going to give you any information. This is kind of a dumb thing. And to be fair, he's right. I don't know why they have the GM come out and do a pre-draft press conference when everyone and their mother is trying to not give away any information, any draft plans, any whatever. This should be a post-draft press conference, something Mickey Loomis doesn't do because he does not have to because it's not mandated. This is mandated. So anyway, that's where we are. You know, today they kind of came in, the Saints kind of came in knowing that everyone was going to be loaded up with questions about Derek Carr this, Derek Carr that. So they kind of got out ahead of it, right? So this first segment, we're going to talk a lot about that, talk about some of the news that came out in this press conference. Not a lot of it, but some, not zero. So we'll get into that in this first segment. Second segment, we're going to hear an interview that Steve and I did with Justin Mello of the Draft Network, get you ready for Thursday night's action, talk quarterbacks, talk positional value, talk all that good stuff. We've had him on here before. Great insight. He's talked to like 200 of these prospects. I'm not exaggerating. He really has. He does this interview series every year. It's really great. So he's got a lot of first person kind of insight. So we'll hear from him in the second segment. Final segment, I'm going to roll through mine and Steve's final mock draft. We did seven rounds, so just reading through all the picks is going to take an entire segment by itself. Steve won't be here to defend his picks, but I do want to get it on record so he can be just as wrong as everybody else in this mock draft paradise that is, I have no idea what these picks are going to be. But let's get into it. Mickey Loomis, obviously, as you mentioned, didn't say a lot. He knew he was going to be facing a barrage of Derek Carr questions. So they came in with a plan. And that plan was, the first thing I'm going to say is I'm not going to say anything. And then from that point on, every Derek Carr question I am going to shoot down. And if you don't believe me, this is how Mickey opened his press conference and how he responded to basically every question from that point on.
Hopefully answer the questions about Derek Carr. He does have an issue with his shoulder. We're hoping to get some resolution and clarity on that in the near future. And when we do, I'll report back to you. Otherwise, I don't have anything more to state about Derek, but I'm open to any pre-draft questions that you might have.
Mickey, would you say when the news broke about Derek that you were surprised by it, or was this something you guys knew about before?
I'm just not going to answer any more questions about Derek. I mean, this is a pre-draft. If you have questions about the draft, then I'm more than happy to answer those. But in terms of the roster and Derek, I'm not going to answer any more questions about that today.
Yeah, so that is basically what you had. You had Mickey Loomis going out there and saying nothing, right? And making it very clear he was not going to say anything, which is a strategy. It's a choice. You know, the words he used were clarity, resolution, stuff that doesn't exist right now. He did say that he would give us this information later on, at a later point, when they have it. Take from that what you will. I feel like it's telling. You know what? Like, the reasoning they gave for not wanting to give any information is they don't want it to be, Mickey does not want it to be construed, thrown against the wall in some way that it's not intended, whatever. They don't want to create a bunch of crazy storylines the day before the draft. And I understand that. But what it's doing is creating a vacuum of information where everything can be true. And I just don't think that's healthy for a team. I don't think that's healthy for a player. And that's just the situation that they have embraced. Now, what it is telling me is that the answers to these questions are not simple answers. And by that, I mean, if the answers were as simple as, we are committed to Derek Carr, he is our quarterback, we are looking forward to moving ahead with Derek Carr as our starting quarterback, right? If that was the answer, that's what we would have heard. And that's what we heard earlier in the offseason. So clearly something has changed since that point, because if it was, again, that simple, then we would have gotten a simple answer. We did not get that. We got no answer, which is a pretty steep, pretty sharp kind of about face from where we were earlier in the offseason. So we'll see how this goes. Again, we got no new information. Mickey wouldn't even confirm what shoulder the injury was to, what the timeline is, what it was relative to, anything. And whether you think that's because they don't have the information, which I think is definitely part of it, or you think they're withholding information, which is also definitely part of it, it's not a pretty picture. And if nothing else, what today confirmed to me is that this is a sticky situation. This is not a simple, well, it's being overplayed in the media situation. This is a situation that is going to come to a resolution, and we just don't know what that's going to be yet, but it's going to be something, and we will have to wait and see. That's really all I have on the Derek Carr of it all. The Saints are probably going to draft a quarterback. We're going to have these conversations. They don't want to project a situation where they are definitely going to draft a quarterback, but there's only so much smoke screening you can do when everyone and their mother knows you kind of need a quarterback. Now, Mickey was asked how Spencer Rattler fits into this equation, and I did think his answer on that front was interesting. So Let's hear it.
I mean, we're speculating here. Like I said, it just, you know, we're in the business of developing quarterbacks. We like the guys we've got. That doesn't mean, you know, we're going to draft, how many draft picks we got? Nine? We're going to draft nine players, you know, and they're going to be different positions. It doesn't mean that we don't like the guys at those positions that we have. It just means we're trying to add to the mix and create competition and make ourselves better. And so I don't think it's any different.
Yeah, and so however you want to take that, you know, the Saints are in the quarterback business. Where does Spencer Rattler slot in? How confident are you in Spencer Rattler? How confident is Kellen Moore in Spencer Rattler? Do you see him as a player that, if Derek Carr is not here, is he your starter? Is he your backup? Right? Like, that's what we need to figure out. And we're going to get more into the mock drafts later on. But at the end of the day, whoever you draft at quarterback is going to be your heir apparent at quarterback, whether he plays this year, whether he plays next year. And I just don't see a scenario where you don't come away from this draft with a quarterback. Now, that's just competition in that room. Spencer could still beat that guy out. Spencer could still turn into the better quarterback in that room. But I don't think anyone is banking on that right now. This is what Mickey had to say about the QB class in general.
Yeah, I think there's guys that are good quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, and I don't know if the quantity is the same as some other years, but that goes up and down, you know. And look, well, one thing about that position, I think that, you know, you fall in love with somebody, you know, I think each of our teams, sometimes that's a different guy.
Mickey, going back to like 15 with Terry Grayson and just going forward, what is your guys' philosophy in terms of like urgency and resource spending on just finding that young quarterback prospect?
It's different when, you know, that's the middle of Drew Brees era, right? So there wasn't a lot of urgency about that. But you're always wanting to take swings and develop, you know, the position. That's good business. I think the thing that you have to really resist is over drafting and taking someone that way sooner, because that's opportunity cost, right? If we take somebody way sooner than maybe we should have, we're taking a swing. If it doesn't work out, we missed out on whatever player who ended up being the Pro Bowl or, you know, whatever it is. So it's hard to resist, though. It's, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes.
What about the positions where there's like higher positional value and scarcity? Yeah. Is that going to be even harder not to take a swing and like maybe reach?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we perceive as high position value affects how we grade them, for example. And certainly affects whether we take somebody, particularly when you have them all graded in the same area, right? Even if you're strong at that position.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866 Four Seasons.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Yeah, and so, you know, one thing Mickey said there is like, yeah, it's easy to fall in love with a prospect and say, we need to get this guy at whatever cost it takes. Will the Saints be that team? They have never been that team, at least not at the quarterback position. Like, they've been the team that's like, we want this guy. We're going to go get him. You saw him do it with Marcus Davenport. You saw him do it with a Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? You traded up because you wanted to get Kool-Aid McKinstry. Are you going to do that at the quarterback position? They have not done that under Mickey Loomis. You have not taken a quarterback in the second or first round. The only quarterback you've taken ahead of the fourth round is Garrett Grayson. Like, the question was relevant to. You know, that didn't work out. That was the highest drafted quarterback the Saints have had since Mickey Loomis. It took over as GM, or at least the highest pick the Saints have made. Drew Brees was obviously a second-round pick. He was the first pick of the second round. He was number 31 overall because there was only 30 teams back then. Saints just haven't done it. They'll tell you it's because Drew Brees has been here. I think it's because they grade these quarterbacks hard. And in a lot of cases, you know, if you're not drafting in the top 10, you're probably not getting a star quarterback. You might get a really good developmental quarterback. But at the end of the day, like, people seem to think, hey, we're going to draft this guy, we're going to draft that guy. Look around the NFL and point to all of the later round quarterbacks that have had success, right? You have a couple. You have Brock Purdy, who is in a league of his own in terms of seventh round picks, right? At any position, you don't see a lot of seventh round picks having success. You have Jalen Hurts, who was a second round pick, which isn't exactly a late round pick. You have Dak Prescott, who was a fourth round pick. You have Russell Wilson, who's a third round pick. That's pretty much it. It's not like you're seeing, you know, and when you consider how many quarterbacks are drafted, you know, you don't see guys just get drafted late and then show up. Like, it is rare to even see a guy get a chance to not be good when you are drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. Like, Spencer Rattler is an example of a player who was drafted in the fifth round and got legitimate run as a starting quarterback. There aren't that many of them. So we'll see how that goes. I think the Saints are going to fall in love with a quarterback in this class, or they have already fallen in love with a quarterback in this class. And I think they're going to try to go get him. Mickey will say that the draft approach doesn't change because of the Derek Carr injury situation. And I kind of feel like that's true. You know, I think anyone would say that, but I think it's true because I don't think you went into this year, even if Derek Carr was fully healthy, saying, yeah, this is our quarterback of the future. Like, this is the guy who's going to get us through this year. This is not the guy that we'll be looking at 2 to 3 years down the road and saying, oh man, we're a Super Bowl team. No, this is the guy. He was a means to an end this offseason. And I think that's why the relationship between the team and player has degraded to such a degree, because you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be used as the bridge, but that's what he is. So if you were viewing a guy as a bridge, then you had to find the other side of that bridge. And until they do, the Saints are going to be in the quarterback business. So I don't see this changing at all. What they don't want to be viewed as is a desperate team who has no choice but to draft a quarterback. And I think that's what today was about. The Saints wanted to push down the Derek Carr headline as far as they could. They knew they could not disappear it. They knew it was going to be there. But the headline they wanted to produce was, okay, the Saints don't say anything about Derek Carr. Take what you want from that. Otherwise, in large part, people will move on to bigger and better things. One piece of news that Mickey Loomis did give us today, I asked him whether they had made a decision on the fifth-year options for Chris Olave and Trevor Penning. This is what he said.
Actually, I'll give you that. Here's the carrot. Where's Matt? Here's the carrot, Matt. So we are going to exercise the option on Chris, and we're not going to exercise the option on Trevor, but that doesn't mean we don't love Trevor and expect him to be part of our team going forward.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that's a surprising thing. I really don't. You know, Chris, I think if Chris was healthy, you'd be talking about, hey, what kind of extension are we giving him? In this case, you have a $16 million contract you can hand a guy to say, hey, can we get through a season healthy? Can we figure this out? If we can, then let's figure out that extension next year. But this at least gives the Saints some runway. People will take the Trevor Penning not getting his fifth year option and run with it and say the Saints are done with him, they're moving on. I see this similar to the situation with Cesar Ruiz a couple of years ago. Saints didn't pick up his option because, you know, they felt like it was a better deal to just extend the guy. It gave him a 4-year, $44 million extension, $11 million per season. Had they signed him to his fifth year option, the average would have been much higher. And I think that's going to be the case with Trevor, right? You're going to still go into this season, barring a high draft pick on a tackle prospect, you're going to still go into this season with him as your presumptive right tackle. And, you know, if he plays well, if he has a strong camp, maybe you do extend him. If you get into the season and you want to see it play out, he plays well, maybe you do extend him. If he doesn't, then you probably move on. I don't think that that changes anything as it pertains to the draft. I think you were always going to be there with Trevor, and you're not paying. It never made sense, however you landed on the Trevor Penning experience, to give him a one-year contract worth $16 million when you could probably sign him to a one-year extension for significantly less than that. You could probably sign him to a two-year extension for significantly less than that. The fifth-year option is not as good of it as not as is not as simple of a scenario as people want to make it out to be, because it's a massive raise. Even the lowest level of the fifth-year option, which the Saints are looking at with these two players, you're talking about the average of the third to 25th highest salary at those positions, right? Why are you paying that when you could just come to a deal with the guy? So I don't think Mickey's blowing smoke when he says, hey, doesn't mean we're out on the guy, because we've seen them do this with Cesar Ruiz. It's going to come down to how Trevor looks in camp, how the new coaching staff feels about the guy. Maybe you draft a tackle and he ends up being a backup, in which case you could probably sign that extension for even less. So I think it's more about finding out who that guy is and how he comes into this season. Remember, Trevor was changing positions last season. He was no guarantee that he was even going to be playable at right tackle. He ended up starting 17 games. He was healthy for the first time in his career throughout an entire season. So we'll see. Maybe he comes back this offseason, finally has an offseason at one position, and can make some strides. I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he was great. I think he was kind of right there. He needs to continue developing. So if you can do that, fantastic. If you can't, all right, experiment over. But for now, that's where we are. But okay, Jeff Nowak, this is Inside Black and Gold. Quick episode coming to you prior to the first round of the draft on Thursday. Going to hit the break here, come back, play you an interview that Steve Geller and myself did with Justin Mello of the Draft Network, break down a bunch of prospects, get ready for what the Saints could potentially do at number 9, number 40, and everywhere else on Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday in the 2025 NFL Draft. Who dat? Go Saints. Subscribe. We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.